We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the NBA Front Office Show. Happy Monday. We've got playoff basketball to talk about and the Phoenix Suns. Yikes. What happens now? Swept from the playoffs. We're going to break down what their future looks like, get a quick update around the NBA as well. So lots to dive into today. I am Trevor Lane. If you guys want to find me over on X, you can find me at Trevor_Lane, joined by Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, we both predicted the Suns were going to beat the Wolves, and the Wolves said, nope, not only are you guys wrong, but you're dead wrong. The Wolves sweep the Phoenix Suns. And now what? Well, I guess first, what were your thoughts on this? Before we get ahead of ourselves, what were your thoughts on the series and the way the Wolves defense was able to essentially just dominate the Suns in the series?
Yeah, I mean, pretty impressive what they did, especially when you consider the challenges they faced in the regular season against this Phoenix team. We talked about it. All of the matchups and math worked against Minnesota here, and it just didn't. When it came around, they were able to reverse some stuff. They pretty much stayed to Ant on Booker and McDaniels on KD. Nikhil Alexander-Walker played a pretty big role in this series too. As a defender, he picked up basically Beal when he was out there with both Edwards and McDaniels. And then when he wasn't, he picked up whoever the other one wasn't guarding. I mean, they just did a wonderful job that way. And then Anthony Edwards completely reversed course from what was a miserable regular season against the Suns. He averaged like 14 points on like 30% shooting. He was amazing, absolutely unstoppable for most of this series. So there's no one thing I think you can point to as like that's what it was, but it was defense, Edwards, rebounding, physicality, like it all leaned Minnesota's way and it all fell apart pretty spectacularly on Phoenix.
Mike Conley was hitting big shots when they needed him to. He was that veteran steadying presence that the Wolves hoped that he would be in this one. Again, I was super impressed with McDaniels. He was great. I liked the way they were going offense, defense with Towns and Gobert down the stretch, particularly last night. And bizarre thing, I guess, before we get into the Suns future and everything, Chris Finch, the Wolves coach, like as though we haven't had enough injuries so far in the playoffs. Chris Finch feared torn patellar tendon after Mike Conley ran into him.
Now,
oh, it's confirmed now. Yeah. Last I saw was feared. Yep. Yikes. So the Wolves coach goes down, has to get helped off the floor. It was just, an accident gets ran into and unfortunate stuff. You could see as soon as he went down, you could see something was seriously wrong. He was in pain beyond just, hey, I got ran into by an NBA player, which that hurts by itself, right?
Sure.
But then he's grabbing his knee and the injury bug. I can't recall this happening before, the injury bug taking out a coach now in game. That was crazy.
Yeah, and it was a close enough game with about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go that happened, I think, right around that range. That it was like, is this going to mess things up for Minnesota? Like is this a, are they going to be able to do what they need to do? But they did. They held off. And, they kind of went from there. So hopefully, with Chris Finch, I'm guessing he'll be coaching from the seated position the rest of the way. I don't know. Maybe that's something they can throw a brace on and he can hobble around and do his thing, you know, as far as standing up. He doesn't scream a guy who's like constantly up on his feet and jumping up and down and all that stuff. I don't think he does a lot of that, but yeah, definitely a weird thing for sure. And I'm going to guess the assistant coaches will be handling any demonstration points in practice from here on out. And they're going to have a lot of practice time because even if I'm not taking a shot, but even if the Nuggets finish off the Lakers tonight, they're not going to put that series so far ahead of the other series in the Western Conference. It may start a day or two earlier than the other one could start, but it's not going to, or maybe even up to 3 days, but it's not going to start like a whole, like 5-6 days ahead of when the other ones could be. So it's a, just such a weird thing for the Timberwolves right now to have to deal with that. But you know what? I'm sure if you asked Chris Finch, he'd say, I'll trade it. I don't really need a healthy patella tendon. I'm just the coach. Like, we moved on. Only the second time in franchise history, second year in franchise history, that the Timberwolves have won a playoff series. The only other time was when they made it to the Western Conference Finals. That one time with KG and Sprewell and Cassell and everybody. And that was it. That's the only other time they've won a playoff series in their entire franchise history of 30-some-odd years.
Yeah, so no 90s or early 2000s pop punk moves from Chris Finch on the sidelines, that's for sure. You know what I'm talking about? They play the guitar and they jump at the same time. That's obviously not going to be going down. But before we move on to the Phoenix Suns, you talk about the Wolves and this being, they obviously don't have a lot of experience advancing deep into the playoffs, at least as a franchise, as an organization. Watching them play, I couldn't help but think, man, whoever it is, if it's Denver, if it's the Lakers, obviously it's most likely still going to be Denver. Nobody's come back from down 0-3. They're going to give hell to somebody. Like, they performed even better than I expected. I went, man, they're going to be a tough matchup for whoever survives this Lakers Nuggets thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they're you know, right now the Wolves are saying, let's go Lakers. Like, let's run this thing to seven games at minimum, right? And then we'll deal with whoever it is on the other side. And they're probably rooting for the Lakers to win just because Denver's the defending champs and all that goes into that. But yeah, Minnesota's going to be tough, man. That they I underrated them all year. You were on them early and then you maybe that brought you over to the dark and wrong side.
I abandoned him. I discounted defense mattering so much more in the playoffs, and I shouldn't have done that. But I looked at the regular season numbers, and I just went, man, the Suns just seem to have their number. And I should have just kept the faith in the Wolves because they've been great all year.
I don't feel super bad about it because I think the predominant pick was Suns in six. Like, everybody was like, yeah, we'll respect the seed. I'll respect the Wolves to an extent. But I think we were all convinced, like, all right, Phoenix is going to make a run. And I know I overrated those last matchups they had in the last week and a half, 2 weeks of the season, too, and discounted a lot of the rest of the stuff. That's just a lesson, right? We're always learning, trying to get better. And now let's take a bigger picture approach. But, yeah, I mean, for Minnesota moving on, we'll see where it goes. For Phoenix, there are a whole lot of questions that need to be answered, including probably starting with, is Frank Vogel coming back? We heard a lot of buzz last night, kind of becoming an unfortunate trend with Frank Vogel of, hey, teams are barely off the floor, and let's talk about his job security and his future. At least this time he still had a job by the time he got to the locker room. And this is a spot where I think this is somewhat the old can't fire all the players, so you fire the coach kind of thing. And we're going to get into why you can't fire all these players and how hard that's going to be and some of the stuff Phoenix is dealing with. But yeah, but now I don't know what to make of. I don't know if you saw this. It came out right before we started recording. Matt Ishbia is going to speak alongside James Jones on Wednesday. Jones was going to talk today, but that has now been delayed till Wednesday. And that's a little, what's happening here with the coach and the GM speaking together instead of the GM on, what's basically exit interview, locker room cleanout day. Well, that's something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, so you got the owner of the team and the GM that are going to be speaking, and that they scheduled this. and that they pushed back what was already planned, maybe because they want to have time to actually meet with Frank Vogel and tell him face to face what's going on. He said he still has full support from ownership. That's what Frank Vogel said. But we know the way this goes. As you mentioned, it's easier to change the coach than it is the players. And again, we'll get to the players in just a moment. But let me ask you this, Keith, because Suns fans are not very enamored with Frank Vogel. I think it's fair to say that in sports in general, when things don't go the way that you want them to go, the coach gets a lot of blame. Right or wrong, the coach gets a lot of blame, and that's not an NBA thing. That's a sports thing. That's just the way that it goes. That said, that doesn't mean that the people out there who've been critical of Frank Vogel and the job that he's done don't also have a point. So how much of this the Suns, you know, let's face it, they didn't live up to expectations. How much of this is on Frank Vogel?
Some of it, for sure. I think it's there is a failure of an ability to adapt to what your personnel is that he has shown at various times and locations, mm-hmm. whether that be with Indiana, with Orlando, with the Lakers, and now with the Suns, where he wants to coach and play a certain style. And when he doesn't have the players to do that, it becomes very hard. Now, that should be a known thing at this point. He is not a brand new assistant coach just promoted, right? We've got lots of history on Frank Vogel as a coach, and anybody who hires him should know we need to give him the kind of roster that he's going to play the way he plays. So There's challenge one, right? Then I think the other part that comes into that was, fair or unfair, he spent from day one getting hired all the way through right up to training camp, talking about how we're going to get DeAndre Ayton to defend, we're going to build a whole defense around DeAndre Ayton and all this stuff. And then on the eve of training camp, it's actually DeAndre Ayton's being traded, and now you have Jusuf Nurkić and Grayson Allen. And that's not a knock on the decision to make that trade or Nurkić or Allen, but it's just very hard. You change streams on him right leading up to it, and then throughout the course of the year, somebody was always hurt. We talked about it a million times on this show. Generally, it was Bradley Beal, but someone always missed time throughout the course of the year. And that's just really tough on a coach, too. So you get into a spot where it becomes how much can you put on him versus the circumstances he was having to coach under. And I think it's probably a lot closer to 50-50 than it is 80% Frank Vogel's fault.
Yeah, and I think the fact that now we're starting to see the leaks already, we're not even, the body's not even cold yet, right, for the Phoenix Suns, and we're starting to get the leaks already of, well, KD doesn't like playing in Frank Vogel's offense and things of that nature. That's probably telling. That stuff is coming out now probably means, I imagine that that Wednesday in that presser worked. And we'll probably know before it even happens, before that presser. I think they're probably going to move on from Frank Vogel, and that'll put the Suns in the market for a new head coach. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go. But part of it is not necessarily Frank Vogel. Part of it is, what else do you change? Let's take a look at the Suns and their cap situation here moving forward. This is over on SpotTrack here. So you've got KD, who's under contract for $51 million and change next season, almost $55 million the season after that. Let's start there. Keith, is KD, now 36, still that guy? Is he still a 1A star that if he is your guy, you can build a championship contender around him?
I think he can be, but he needs more help than ever to lead the team where he wants to take them. This is not a Kevin Durant is a team all in to himself. Like there was a point for many, many years. Cause what was this year? Like 16 or 17 for KD. You could, for at least 10 or 12 of those years, you could probably say, all right, Kevin Durant's the team, and whatever we put around him, he's going to drag them to the playoffs, to whatever it may be, right? Like he is that good. I don't think he's that guy anymore. I think he can still be the guy that you are. This is our A number one guy. I think there's no noticeable slippage on defense, which
yes,
shocking. He's 36. That's, you know, big surprise there. But yeah, I think we've seen some of that. And I think offensively, he just needs somebody who can make things a little easier on him. But that's the challenge, right? The Suns tried to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all kind of went sideways.
I think to some degree, and if you're trying to put together a big three, there's only so many opportunities you're going to have to actually get a big three. So to some degree, it's hard to be picky when you've got a third star, particularly one that falls in your lap for the price that they had to pay to get Bradley Beal. Now, Bradley Beal has not lived up to expectations, but I think there's something to, okay, we got our offensive guy that's going to help carry some of the burden already in Devin Booker. Our third guy, if we're going to create a big three, needs to be a really, really, really good defensive piece. Needs to be somebody who can pick it up on the other end of the floor and provide a little bit of offense, at least some floor spacing, something like that. Bradley Beal, I felt like there was just too much overlap with him and Devin Booker in terms of what they're providing. There was a little bit of some limitation there in terms of your overall upside. So when I look at this trio, they're not trading Devin Booker. Bradley Beal's no trade still exists. And I can't imagine teams would be lining up to get him at $50 million, $53 million, and then $57 million and change the season after that. Could we be talking Kevin Durant trade all over again this summer?
It's interesting because it's Kevin Durant. Would it shock you if been a week or so, or by the end of this week, we started hearing KD would like to maybe play here, mm-hmm. would like to maybe be somewhere else or something like that. I mean, I think he is the kind of guy who he's very famously been. He becomes unenamored of a place and is like, I want to be somewhere else. I think he's at a point in his career where if he's looking at it and saying, yeah, this team isn't getting there, get me out of here. Like, get me to another team where yeah. I think I can win instead. It's funny. I saw some people saying, well, is anybody going to trade for him? Of course they would. It's Kevin Durant. Like,
sure.
You'd have a minimum of 15 to 20 teams that would say, yeah, let's at least throw an offer out there and see if we can get him. They're not going to have a hard time trying to move him should the Suns want to do that. And that could be the best way to say, let's go get back some of the draft picks we gave up mm-hmm. for both him and Bradley Beal. It is important for everybody to know. You can see it right here laid out on SpotTrack. This team's insanely expensive. So that means because you're a second apron team, you don't have the ability to go sign people, like, unless they are minimum contracts or your own draft picks or re-signing your own free agents. Your trade restrictions are extremely limited. You are limited to trading no more than one player in a single trade. So you can't even take Yusuf Nurkic and Nasir Little, put them together at 25-ish million and go get a $30 million player. You can't do that anymore. You can do the inverse. They could trade Bradley Beal's $50 million and get a 30 and a 20. That is sure. possible. But you also can't take back any more money than you send out. So you can't aggregate guys together. You can't send back. You can't buy second-round draft picks because you're not allowed to put cash into trades. And what is also really important is, and the last part for them is, second apron teams, you're limited to signing your own draft picks. The Suns pick that they have this year is the absolute last pick they own, either own outright or own without some form of conditions attached to it. Every other first and second round pick has been traded or it has conditions attached to it, which the Suns have no control over.
Good Lord.
That is, you are at a point where if you don't move one of these guys, you better be in the West Finals at a minimum next year. Otherwise, you are looking at a mess of how do you fix this? And I don't know how you fix it, because this is one where all the money in the world, you can't just keep throwing money at it. That's not going to be enough. You don't have the talent in the pipeline to get there.
Keith, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, this is, and you kind of alluded to it here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you don't make that move now, this summer, and next season does not go the way you want it to go, if next season goes like this season does, and Kevin Durant is a year older, and Bradley Beal is a year older, the opportunity to move a KD, let's say KD has an injury-plagued season, the opportunity may not be there the next season. You might, at that point, you might not just be in a tough spot, you might be stuck for the next however many years. Right? With that roster. Now, here's a question. I think I already know the answer to this, but I just want to confirm. That would not apply in terms of the restrictions and things if you were offloading salary in the deal. So like if, let's say, after a trade, let's say you traded Kevin Durant and hypothetically 45 million of his 51 million was being absorbed into another team's cap space. You're not taking back all that money. Would they still be faced with the restriction of not being able to add another player into the deal? Or because at the conclusion of the trade, they would no longer be a second apron team, they would be allowed to do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. All trades, when trade math and what the various restrictions they will trigger, they're all run as where the team will stand upon conclusion of the trade. So in this case, if they were making a trade where, let's just say they were putting Kevin Durant and Eric Gordon in a trade together, they could do that. Now, you could do that in a number of other ways, too, where it's really it's Kevin Durant and Eric Gordon in two separate trades or whatever. But if you were able to do that and take back so much less money that you dipped under the second apron, those restrictions would be removed because you evaluate all trades after that. Something else I want to say about the Suns, and I'm glad you have this pulled up the way you have it pulled up. Under positions, on SpotTrack, we basically use the basketball reference positions, and it's a combination of what is their historical position with the position right now. There's two things you don't really see there. One thing you don't see at all, a point guard. There's not a single point guard on that list. There's not even... The closest you get is Devin Booker masquerading as a point guard this year. The other thing you don't see, a power forward till you get to David Roddy, who's like 6'5". So he's not even a real, like, full-fledged power forward. So you have a whole bunch of wings playing around Yusuf Nurkic, which is generally okay because Kevin Durant's huge. So he's really, at this point, probably more of a four than he is a three, especially defensively. But you're just in a position where, you mentioned it before, there's too much overlap on the roster. The big one that jumps out is Beal and Booker, but then it's all throughout the roster. It is overlap city on this roster. In the top five guys, those were their regular five starters for this team. So you started essentially four wings around Yusuf Nurkic. No wonder you weren't a lockdown defensive team. And offense was pretty good, but then when it went missing against a good defensive team, they didn't have enough to come back from. Last thing I'll say about this group too, Kevin Durant played 75 games this year. Devin Booker played 68. That is, I am now going to use the kind of NBA's new world approach with the rules for the voting on everything. That's essentially playing a full season. Right, like that's pretty close to have played a full season.
Sure.
Like I used to kind of be anything above 70 and above. I'll translate it down to 65 now. You played a full season without major injuries. And I know Booker missed some time. I know Durant missed some time. but they made it through a full season. You betting, especially with Durant, that that's going to happen again next year if you're Phoenix? I think we all know Bradley Beal's not making it through a full season. Are we going to bet on Kevin Durant playing another 70-plus games? If you are, I'd love to see the science behind that because I don't know that I trust that.
So maybe for this team next year, the best-case scenario would be Chris Paul gets waived by the Warriors. And, yeah, I mean, he's probably – and I know that's it kind of funny because it'd be Chris Paul again, but – I mean, I got to look at the point guard market, but who would be willing to take a minimum that could be a difference maker at the point guard position? It's probably him. And again, then you've got a super old roster. I don't know, Keith. I really think that the way this played out, this was a team that was put together for a 1, maybe 2 year window. We need to win it all right now. Let's go. And it obviously did not work out this year. I really think they have to consider some KD trades for this summer. So let's say, before we move on to the other playoff series, let's say it gets known, probably not publicly, but through back channels and everything, gets known that the Suns will listen. James Jones' phone rings. Who's on the other end?
Oh, man. I mean, a lot of teams, right? Like, it probably...
Who should be?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm going to take out, like, the Pistons and the Wizards and the... Because they should be, but... Who knows, right? Like you can all, like, I can very easily say, well, they probably shouldn't be. So now you're looking at, all right, KD is going to do his best to kill anything that doesn't send him to a team with a real chance to win, right? Because he doesn't have a no trade, unlike Bradley Beal. But the Knicks, I imagine, call, right?
Sure.
They've chased him in the past. They probably make a call. Do the Clippers ask about, is there a way, right? Is there a way you could you swap PG? That gets really hard because now you're talking sign and trades. It gets super messy with just the way all that will work out. But, you know, at least you make the phone call to see. I imagine the Lakers and the Heat both call, right? Yeah, Philly for sure with their cap space. They would say, hey, you want out of that contract? Free and clear and clean up your books, everything but the Beal contract. We'll just take him right and go. Lakers in Miami, because it's always the Lakers in Miami.
They're always going to be it, right?
Yeah. If it's a superstar player that can even remotely play, those two are going to be involved. It's funny. I was listening to a podcast earlier today and I said, if you're the Warriors, would you make a call? Like, just to.
About that.
You know,
Durant even go for that? Because you can only imagine, like, we know he cares about what people think and what people say. Would he even do that? Because you can imagine, well, how would the backlash of him going back to Golden State?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably a very far-fetched pie in the sky. Here's the one I saved for last, though, because I think this is the one, the Thunder. Why not?
Ooh.
Bring it back full circle. Spicy. Come home. All is forgiven. Man, he fits perfectly with what they need. There's enough talent to support him. They wouldn't even have to necessarily give up everything to get him because this would be a situation where clearly he wants out. We know when a player wants out, sometimes the return package is not everything you think. But they could say to Phoenix, hey, we know you're out draft picks. Here's 10 of them. Here's 20. Here's a complete rebuild of your first and second rounds. Like, would they do that? And we'll throw you, I don't know, these two or three young players to go. I'm 100% in. To me, that would turn it back to you. He himself, too. Think of the goodwill he could win back from a lot of general people of, man, dude went back. Like, he went back to try to help this team, you know, kind of climb that mountain and get to where they've never been. Like, that's my favorite option of them all. If somebody's really going to do it.
I'm looking here. They've got cap space this next year too.
Yep. Should have about 30 million.
They've got, I mean, so then it makes salary matching that much easier because you don't have to stack up. Cause my initial thought was, man, that's a lot of salaries for them to stack up. No, they don't really have to. They could use that cap space and and make that work. And off they go. And like you said, they've got a bunch of, but they've got picks ranging from like fake first round picks you could throw in to some pretty good ones to, you know, they've
plus
got
all their own. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a lot of options.
I'm not exaggerating. I think they still have like 20 second round picks too. And how I start that conversation is, hey, one, because we have cap space and draft picks, there's the bulk of you're getting off the contract more or less free and clear. You got to take a little bit of money back, but not as much as maybe you would have had to otherwise. So we're getting out of it that way. We're giving you all the draft picks, and you can't have SGA, you can't have Jalen Williams, the wing, and you can't have Chet. Let us know what two guys you want. And then there may need to be player X needs to be in the trade just to make the math work, but
sure,
that's fine. You know, that's the thing. And honestly, Phoenix is probably not at a point to sneer at that, because even after this, it's like, we need to rebuild some depth. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's probably going to be back with the Suns. I think they're going to try to retool as best they can around what they've got here and try to figure it out. But man, if that was the way it went, like, let's go. And it's funny, I've seen a lot of Thunder fans saying, it's been long enough, we're ready to forgive. Like, let's go. And I think that's right. Right. Like, that's like, it's been a decade almost now. Like, let's just move on. Like, I guess 7 years or whatever it's been, but that's my favorite one.
Call up Skylar Gray. Let's make it happen. Yeah, I'm coming home.
Let me tell you my other one that I like, just because I like the absurdity of it. I want the Rockets to trade for him, sending all the Nets picks to the Suns. So then the Suns own all of the Nets picks, and the Nets own all of the Suns picks. Just because I think that's funny. I just think that's great.
That would be a good time.
And honestly, the Rockets, not a bad spot, right? Like, there's a team that could use them and maybe really push up there. So, and I know you're just thinking, like, get them the hell out of the Western Conference. That's what I want.
Like, of course.
Send them home to Washington. Like, go there. Like,
why not? So, I'm thinking, for one thing, I think, gosh, those future Suns picks, are those now some of the most valuable picks in the NBA, given the way the season has gone? Yeah. I think so. I think probably. Yeah. And I also think when, you mentioned the OKC thing, it makes some sense. I think that the challenge is Matt Ishbia. Is he, a little over a year into him taking over the team? Does he want to admit he was wrong that quickly? Probably not. And that's where I ultimately land, like with you, where I think they probably bring this team back. They probably make some tweaks. They probably change the coach. And that's what they ultimately see, because that would be a really quick admission of, oh, we made a mistake. And we're gonna now try to undo it, even though I think there's a lot of danger in not fixing it right now and not, parting ways with some of these guys, and that you're going to be stuck if you get to next summer and you're still in this position. But I also look at Bradley Beal, and I think, may that be now the worst contract in the league, with Ben Simmons becoming an expiring deal. Is this now the worst contract, particularly when we factor in the no trade clause? These are all the questions that are popping into my head about this whole situation. And it's, I think the answer might be yes. I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I can already tell you, when we're in like January and I write every year for SpotTrack, I write the least tradable contracts in the NBA. The reason we refer to it as least tradable is no one is untradeable. We have seen that time and time. Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, Russell Westbrook was the least tradable guy most untradeable guy, somehow gets
somebody will be dumb enough to do it
after that. Yeah, someone will do it. But I can tell you, it's going to be probably a battle between Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. Like, it's going to be, there's your 1-2, punch at the top, which sounds crazy given what both guys have been. But that's how we get to in the NBA. These guys age out, and a lot of these contracts are paid for past performance. And that's a term that I heard first used in Major League Baseball when it started. Remember, for a little while there, everyone was getting 10 and 12 year deals.
Yep.
And it was like, these are going to be so bad. Like, I remember the Albert Pujols one.
Yes.
And it was like, that's going to be a horrible contract at the end. And you know what it was? But the Angels even owned, we will be paying him in 2020 for what he did for us in 2015. Like, that was kind of the thought process. That's fine in baseball. You know why? There's no salary cap. So the only cap is whatever the ownership says, this is what we can spend and not spend. In basketball, you teams do that knowing that's maybe the only way to get a guy, but then you're stuck. But they always find a way. You know, life finds a way, as we learned from Jurassic Park.
That's right.
You can always move a player if you need to and all that. Here's the other funny thing. This came up last night. I don't know if you saw this because this was at like 1:30 in the morning. People were like, I tweeted out a thing about this, how much the Suns owe. I know you saw that one because I saw you reply to it. But I also tweeted out, somebody said, could they waive and stretch Bradley Beal? Like, is that a possibility? Bradley Beal on a waive and stretch makes too much money. He would make $23 million where the salary cap currently projects. That's over 16% of the cap. If they did that, you're not allowed to have any single stretched cap hit be for more than 15% of the salary cap. So they wouldn't even be allowed to waive and stretch him. That's how much money he makes. So good luck with all that.
If they don't make a big move this summer, trading away one of Durant, or if somebody wants Beal and Beal wants to go there, or Booker, they're stuck. I mean, seven players under contract, right?
Yeah.
And they're already in the second tier.
Yeah, seven players under contract, 191 total million for those seven guys. That's a half a roster, and you're already up and over the second apron. Never mind being over the luxury tax. That's not with that's with assuming player X resigns for whatever. That is with these seven contracts. It's on the screen right now, it is the six that are in white. And then Devin Booker's purple, which that is the projected extension, but that is a fully guaranteed deal. And then if Gordon, Okogie, Lee, a couple other guys pick up their player options, you're up over $200 million in total money on your books just for regular salary.
Unbelievable.
There's no easy way out of this. You're pretty well stuck. And with Beal, you might find the perfect trade to send Bradley Beal to Orlando. And if Bradley Beal's like, I don't want to live there, just says no. And then nothing you can do about it. And he can, this is not like he can block a trade once. He can block a trade all the way through 26, 27 if he wants to.
Okay, so that was another thing. So even if he gets traded, let's say he says, yes, I'll go to, I don't know, Atlanta, whatever. It doesn't matter. That no trade follows him there too. So that team trading for him has to factor that in too. If this doesn't work, then we become stuck with him and we can't trade him because of the no trade clause.
Yeah. Bradley Beal very wisely, when Washington's the one who gave him the no trade clause, when he got traded to Phoenix, he did not get rid of it. He did not block the trade, but that doesn't mean he waived his no trade clause. He just didn't exercise it. He just didn't say, I'm blocking that trade. That's still intact, and he can do whatever he wants to do, which is great on him and his agent for getting
for sure.
Honestly, that's wonderful work by them. But
okay. Well, that Suns draft pick this year is going to have to really hit. I think if they're going to
make the way through the draft.
22nd pick. By the way, we've got over the basketball bulletin, we have our first full mock draft. Bryce put this together. If you guys haven't checked out the basketball bulletin yet, click the link in the description down below. We've got a full mock draft on here. I don't recall off the top of my head who the Suns wound up with. Let me scroll here and see. At 22.
I don't remember either. It's going to be embarrassing if either one of us.
Ryan Dunn.
That's a good pick for them. Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. That's who they wound up with. But again, you can go check out the full mock draft over at the Basketball Bulletin. Put the link in the description down below. Great way to check out some written work from Keith, from myself, from Bryce Simon, all kinds of stuff going up there. All right, Keith, we spent half an hour on the Suns postmortem here, as well as the Wolves. Yeah, I mean, there's so much, and that's going to be a talking point. My only request is if they do trade Kevin Durant, can we not do it at 2:30 in the morning this time?
Please.
That would be fantastic. But
or if you're going to do it at 2:30 in the morning, can we do it when it's July 1st and we're already up recording a late night show? Then I'm okay with it. That would you know, quite frankly, probably be the jolt of energy we need to get through those shows. For anybody wondering, if you're new here, Trevor and I go live each night on free agency whenever things seem like they've slowed down for the night. Yeah. We turn on the mics, we break down everything that happened that day and get into all of them. We do it live each night. And a shocking, surprising amount of you fanatical weirdos are up with us at that time of the night. We love it. Even at, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock Eastern, you're it's up fun. And jonesing to talk some hoops. And we have a lot of fun. It's if you ever wanted to see us super punchy, that's the time, because we're usually, if you think we're weird now, we're usually way weirder at 2:33 in the morning Eastern.
That's the time of year when we're jumping with every notification. Every time your phone goes off, you're like, what happened? You know, you're waiting for that next thing. It's like when you're waiting for your wife to go into labor. That's what free agency is like. Essentially, you're constantly waiting for that message to come across. You know, sources say team X is signing this player, and it completely changes the landscape of the league. And then it's, oh my gosh, let's go. Yeah, it's a good time.
All right, let's do a quick playoff rundown and update of where everything is at. So two game fours are still coming. That is Boston in Miami tonight, and the Thunder and Pelicans. Pelicans clinging to life. They could be done by the time some people maybe even listen to them watch this in the morning. And then the Celtics could go up 3-1 on the Heat and go back to Boston with a chance to close it. Then the other game tonight is game five. Your Lakers staved off elimination over the weekend with a pretty good game. Monster game from AD. Thought he was, you know, incredible. And what we're all watching for there, Jamal Murray. How's Jamal Murray doing? Like, is he
calf strain
going to be all right? What's that look like? Yeah, he's got a calf injury. Right when it happened too, you saw him go. It didn't look like one of the ones where it's like, oh no, is that his Achilles? Like, it was much higher. He was grabbing for his calf for sure. But you felt like he did, at least in my opinion, he wasn't moving right the rest of the game. Like, just couldn't get the burst off the screens, couldn't keep up defensively. So we'll see what happens there in that one. Then we move to Tuesday. We're getting into chance at some closeout games there between the Knicks could close it out at home against Sixers, Pacers, and the Bucks. Damian Lillard hurt over the weekend. We don't know if Giannis is going to be back. It sounds like Giannis is maybe closer than Dame now, but Pacers are up 3-1. So Pacers and Knicks could close it out. Talk about that's a fun throwback series, right? Pacers and Knicks, like, you know, all different people. But you know you're going to get, man, we're going to get a lot of Reggie Miller airtime against John Starks and all the battles from back then. That one's going on. And then we got Magic Cavaliers, which just turned into, it's weird to call it more competitive series because it's been four blowouts, just each team won two. So we'll see if the Cavs can do it again on their home floor, if Orlando found something that worked. I kind of think Orlando might have found something that worked by getting super-duper physical with Cleveland like the Knicks did to them last year in the playoffs. So we'll see.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one to watch. Let me just express my love for the Knicks. I love this team. This team is so – as a complete neutral, the Knicks, I don't have a rooting interest in those games. I love watching that team. They are so much fun. They are so physical. They're so aggressive. Everybody knows they're going to crash the offensive glass, and they still do it to everybody. They're grabbing 3-4 offensive, which is hell when you're the team. When your team is playing against them, it's the worst thing ever. But if you're a neutral in the series and you're watching it, it is a thing of beauty. They are one high level scorer away, I think, from being a real threat. And that's when we talk about Kevin Durant, like that could be an interesting fit there. You can see where they probably don't have quite the offensive ceiling that they need, but man, are they a pain to play against on a night in, night out basis. In some ways, I look at them as almost like Wolves East. Not that they're similar teams really, just that, you know, every night it's going to suck to play against them. And that's, I love that about this Knicks team.
Yeah. The challenge for them right now, Julius Randle obviously is out for the season. Mitchell Robinson sounds like he was somewhat close to playing yesterday. That was like a true game time because the reporters are like, he literally just finished a really intense workout on the court and then they ruled him out. So hopefully even if, if they win or not, hopefully he's back for the start of the second round or something like that. But then Bojan Bogdanovic, who came out earlier in the day, Sunday, is playing through a torn or at least a damaged wrist ligament in his left hand. That's his non-shooting hand, but still a big deal. Then got hurt with a foot injury. So he is also out. And Tibbs didn't do neck. Tibbs doesn't do next man up. He just says everybody else plays more. So they're like one more injury from Miles McBride being the only one who gets any minutes off the bench. And I assume he'd play like 8 minutes behind each starter and just six guys would go 40 minutes apiece. And that would
just take turns. It's all right. It's your turn to get it right. Everybody gets one. Yeah. It's like when you're working retail, you get your one scheduled break.
Your one break,
right?
Yep. That's it. Yep.
That would be, that's going to be the next. OG Anunoby, by the way, defending Joel Embiid.
Yeah, doing a really nice job of it.
Played 47 minutes, OG did, and was defending Joel Embiid. Incredible stuff. Yeah. They fronted him and made it really tough on the Sixers.
Yeah, big time. And then the only game series we didn't talk about yet, Dallas Clippers. That one's evened up. They've got 2 days off, which is pretty huge because Luka and Kawhi are both dealing with knee stuff. At this point, who knows what's going to happen with Kawhi. They didn't say we're shutting him down, but it was we're shutting him down until he gets right. How long that takes, who knows? He clearly, the last two games that he played, didn't look good, wasn't moving well. And then Luka hurt his knee in game three and spent most of game four just kind of limping around. It didn't look very good either. Hopefully the 2 days off does them both well. But that's a battle now, right? I think when they announced Kawhi was out, I know I kind of said, all right, Dallas has a chance here to really go. And James Harden, throwback performance. Paul George was terrific in the first half. And here we are, 2-2. That's a battle between those two teams.
It helps when you shoot like 80% from three in the first quarter, which is not the exact number, but pretty close to what the Clippers did. But are they better without Kawhi? I don't think long-term, big picture, but there does seem to be a different flow of the offense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not as much of a your turn, my turn. When it's only really the touches are being divvied up between Harden and George, it does flow a little easier. You said, shot 80% on threes. James Harden shot like 190% on floaters. Just kept getting to that floater in the middle of the paint. And that's the difference in his game now. He doesn't get all the way downhill and get fouled anymore. I don't think he can. So now he's adjusted to takes a whole bunch of floaters and he's making them at a pretty high clip. So that's been a fun series, but so we only got two series that are 2-2. Mm-hmm. We kind of rooting for a couple teams to pull some wins out here. I know you're a little invested here and I'm going to give you my phrase from last year. You ready? Mm-hmm. Can't make history if there's not history to be made.
There you go. I like it. I like it. Somebody's going to do it. At some point, somebody's going to come back from down 0-3. It'll happen. It'll happen. I don't know if it's going to happen now, but someday it'll happen. We'll see. All right, Keith, I know we got to run here, but I do appreciate everybody for joining the show. Make sure you do hit that subscribe button. Again, the off season is coming. We're going to have all kinds of great stuff coming up for that. Plenty to break down in terms of trades, free agency, the draft, of course. Check out the Basketball Bulletin as well over on Substack. Put the link in the description down below, basketballbulletin.substack.com. Appreciate everybody for joining us. Till next time, see ya, and stay safe.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.